Amen.
Sometimes we don't act like it, though, do we?
God can do anything but fail. And that's the title of our message tonight. I've asked Nikki to help me preach tonight because we know that we do fail.
Amen. Every day.
We know that we do fail. And we know as we read the Bible how the great patriarchs in the Old Testament, how they failed, how Moses had failed, and how that Abraham had failed God, and David had failed God, Solomon failed God. And if we just looked at the failures of people in the Bible, we'd get discouraged. But God can do anything but fail. And through all of our failures, we can be assured of one thing, that if we'll keep his statutes, if we'll follow him with all of our heart, then we're in a covenant with God. And that as long as we're in a covenant with him and doing his will, we know he can't fail, then we can't fail.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We as Christians sometimes dwell on our failures, and it hinders us from ever getting any higher, ever doing anything greater for God. Well, I think it's time that everybody in this church tonight forget about yesterday, forget about all the failures, and even forget about all of your successes, and say that this is a new day, this is a new era in my walk with God. And I know that God's not going to fail me, because that's the reason we're still here tonight, is because God has been faithful to you and I. I love him for his faithfulness. I can count on him. I can count on him in the morning. I can count on him at the noontime. I can count on him at supper time. And I can count on him when you're asleep at night and I'm awake.
Amen.
I can count on him. Jesus has never let me down. My heavenly Father has always been there to love me. And when I've been the prodigal son, the Father's been waiting and watching for me to come back every day. He never stopped waiting. And Jesus said that he prays to the Father for us, intercedes. So I've failed a lot. Everybody in here, there's been a lot of things that we tried to do for God that's failed. Sometimes we feel like a failure. I deal with people that feel like that they have failed God, they've failed society, they've failed everybody, because they feel like they're being punished by having to sit in a wheelchair and sit in their waist half the time. Little lady come up to me this morning. Bless her heart, she walked up to me. And we had brought all the sweet stuff and the bread and everything into the room where we were going to have our service. And they really sometimes have 70 and 80 nursing home people in there. And we were rolling in these crates on wheels. And she walked up to me and she said, "I am so hungry." And my heart dropped, because I know that I can't give the residents any of this stuff. You know, it always has to go through the proper channels, or we'd be out of business as missionaries into these homes. But she said, "I am so hungry." And God reminds me all of the time of how some of these dear people go hungry day in and day out, because the nursing homes is simply understaffed and they can't keep track of everything. They just can't do it. That's not saying anything bad about them. But I think of all the people that have to wait for someone to roll their wheelchair into the potty and help them so they can use the bathroom, and how so many times the CNAs are so busy trying to do their job that these people, they just don't simply make it to the bathroom in time. And I think of all these things that goes through their mind, and we minister to so many of the people that feels like the reason I'm in this condition and all that I'm going through, I'm nothing but a failure. I fail God. What's the use? I just give up. Our church today is giving up. You can see a great falling away. You can see many things happening in the body of Christ. And it's sad, but it's all in the Bible. And a lot of it is because people get tired of trying because they feel like that they're running up against a brick wall and nothing is being accomplished in their life. We have many, many people that sincerely want to do something for God, and maybe they're off base just a little bit, but their heart is right, and whatever they try, it doesn't work out. I have many friends that have been pastors, preachers, evangelists, singers that don't do anything anymore for the simple reason they feel like they've failed God. And there's no sense. They've tried it so many times that they say, I'm not trying it anymore. God's going to have to knock me over the head to get my attention before I try anything else. But I'm here tonight to tell you by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God that God wants you to try one more time.
Amen.
Because he's not going to fail you. Jesus told the man that asked him, said, well, Lord, how many times should I forgive someone when they do me wrong? Jesus looked at him and said, 70 times 7. In other words, he was trying to say that we live in a world, and back then they were in a world where people were failing each and every day. Sometimes I try to be a good friend. I try to be a friend to Honeybee. I try to spend time when he's around. I try to spend time with you. And there's many times that I fail at being a minister that spends enough time with people. And I've learned not to let that get me down, because we're all just human beings and we all fail each and every day. But we have someone that says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I want you to be strong. I want you to be bold. I want you to be courageous. And he wants us to get into the Word to see where it's happened to everybody.
Amen.
It's happened to everybody. And as long as we have it in our spirit that we failed before and we're afraid to try again, you will never advance anywhere with your walk with God.
Amen.
And God wants us all to come into a deeper, intimate relationship with the Father and His Son.
Amen.
That's where the real success is the fellowship. And it's not what we know. It's not the songs that we know. It's not how much of the Bible we know. But it's simply having fellowship with God and feeling His love, His presence in our life, and knowing that He'll be there. If we get our eyes off Him and we start to sink, that we can cry out, Lord, Lord, as Peter did, and Jesus will be there to take our hand, and we will not perish.
Amen.
We will not sink. I think how Peter, when he did take his eyes off the Lord, he started sinking. But Jesus caught his hand and they both walked back on water to the boat.
Amen.
Think about that. The Lord didn't stand there and just scold him and say, well, now, and, you know, and here's Peter sinking in water. And Jesus said, well, you know, you took your eyes off of me, Peter. You know, every time that somebody takes their eyes off of me, you know, they're going to fail. But Jesus didn't do that. And if you hear those voices in your spirit that's saying, you know, you've failed and this and that, that's the voice of the devil himself. Jesus said, come on, Peter, let's walk back to the boat. God don't want you to dwell on your failures. He wants you to dwell on the faithfulness of Him.
Amen.
And His Son, Jesus.
Amen.
If you would, how many of you have your Bibles tonight? Get your Bibles out and let's go and let's read the Word of God and see where God took man's failures and glorified Himself in that and showed His faithfulness. We'll start out in the book of Deuteronomy. Let's all say this together. My God.
My God.
Can do anything.
Can do anything.
But fail.
But fail.
Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, the 6th verse. I want you to say this prayer with me tonight. as we break open the bread of life. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter and the 6th verse. I want you from your heart to say this with me. Don't say it if it's not from your heart. Say, God, whatever is read in this book tonight,
whatever is read in this book tonight,
let it become alive in my heart.
Let it become alive in my heart.
Give me a teachable spirit.
Give me a teachable spirit.
To understand your message.
To understand your message.
From your word.
From your word.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Open up my understanding tonight.
Open up my understanding.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Let's stand for the reading of the word. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, we're going to start with the 6th verse. And this is Moses when he appointed Joshua to take the people into the promised land and possess the land. Moses was 120 years old, and because of Moses' failures, God said, I'm not going to allow you to go over into the promised land. And this is what really impressed me about Moses being a man of God. He didn't sit and cry and whine about it. He didn't lay down and kick his feet. He simply done what God told him to do. God told him to appoint someone else to do the job, that his work was done. One of these days, ladies and gentlemen, God's going to tell each one of us, your work on earth is done.
Amen.
And it may not work out the way you think it should in this life. Things may not turn out the way that you had it planned. But let me tell you something. When God is finished with you, he wants you with him in heaven.
Amen.
And it's time to submit to whatever God wants in our life, as Moses did when he talked to Joshua. And let's read together. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called upon Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Can somebody say praise the Lord? You may be seated. There's some of the things that we need to realize in our walk with God. Some of them are that he goes before us. God goes before us each and every day to prepare the way for us to walk in the path that he has laid down for us. And it's good to know that we're not out here walking alone. That God has already went before us, as Moses told Joshua. And he goes before us and he will be with us. Somebody say, he's with me. He's been with me all day. Amen.
With me. He's been with me all day.
And another.
Not true. That's not of God. Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful today that I can go to him and I can start thinking on what his word says, that whatsoever things are pure and honest and good. If I can continue to focus on that, then everything's going to be okay. Amen. 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 I'd like to sing you a Christmas song this morning. I've been trying to practice on this, James and I both, and we hope it goes okay. We're going to give it a shot here. It's called Go Tell It on the Mountain.
And you know, when you know Jesus, you can't help but go tell somebody, can you?
Right.
I remember when I was born again at the age of 33, that I went out telling all of my friends. I got on the phone. I said, do you know what Jesus has done for me? He's forgiven all of my sin. I'm born again. And some of them thought I was crazy. And others said, that's wonderful. I want that too. And others just said, I wonder what's going on here. People have different reactions, don't they, when you go and tell them. But don't be afraid to go tell them. Even if they reject you, tell them anyway, as the Lord leads you to. Grace, it's good to see you again today. We've missed you. We've been praying for you. Let's go tell it on the mountain.
All right. Kind of goes like this. We'll go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silenced flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Will everybody go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere? Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Everybody now let's go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lonely manger, the humble Christ was born. And God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Everybody now let's go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Everybody go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. All right. Amen. Okay. And Father, we're so glad that you sent your son here and provided the reason for the season, and that's you, Jesus. We're so glad that your sacrifice on the cross has covered our sins today, that we might be made whole, that we might be made white as snow before you, O God. So glad to know, Jesus, that you didn't stop at the cross, but that you rose from the grave, and that you're sitting there at the right-hand throne of God, and you're waiting on all of us. And Lord, I just thank you for your patience with each and every one of us, Lord, as we try to do our best to live our lives pleasing to you, Lord. And as James brings forth the message today, Lord, I pray that this message would be a message that would minister to our hearts today, Lord, that we can apply it to our lives, Lord, and that we can be better vessels for you, Lord, better servants for you. We love you now. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. Give the Lord a hand clap. Okay. We're going to give James a come and give us a message from God. Amen.
I'm still not used to microphones yet, but I'm going to get me a headset. So when I come here, because I'm one of them people that likes to jump up and down and wave my hands around, it's kind of hard to do when you get a mic in your hand. You know what Tommy sure is a blessing, you know, since I've met them and come back into the fellowship of God, and God's put me back here. You know, his daddy wants him to be a preacher, believe it or not. Tommy doesn't feel led to be a preacher, but you know what? That was as good a message as I've ever heard. He ministers to my heart. I know he ministers to his mom, and I know he ministers to everybody here. And what he had to say this morning, talking about the minds and the thoughts that God puts into our heads, you know what? It's true. Satan and them demons out there, they can put thoughts in your head. I mean, I deal with it. I think every one of us does. And what's more important than even those thoughts in your head is what comes out of your mouth after those thoughts get put into your head. So Tommy actually kind of did a prequel to the message today, and it's amazing how God works. Because I know I didn't say anything to Tommy about what the message was about today. So anyway, I'm going to read some scriptures.
To perform those things that he's told you that he was going to do. And if you're walking with God, God will speak to your heart and let you know exactly what he wants you to do.
Amen.
Praise his holy name.
Amen.
And he's not going to forsake you. If you do get out there and get into trouble and you get away from him a little bit, God's not going to walk away from you. He's going to be right there at the same place as when you walked away from him. And he said, I will not forsake you.
Amen.
We have a lot of people that we've met in our lifetime that when things didn't go right, that they were gone. Thank God and Greyhound, they were gone. Somebody say amen. You know, we can have plenty of friends as long as they get what they want.
Amen.
But when they don't get what they want, when they're through with you, when they've used you, they just toss you aside like a pair of old shoes. But there's someone here that says, I will never forsake you. No matter what you do to me, no matter how far you go in sin, I will not forsake you. I'll be there ready and waiting for you to repent and come back to me.
Amen.
Isn't that comforting, church?
Yes.
Isn't that comforting?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we can look back and we can see how we could have done things different. We could have raised our children different. We can look back and see how we should have treated our wife or our husband. And we can just go back and stay back in the past and never come back into the present. But God says, hey, look, yesterday is gone. I've got a record of all the good that you've done for the right reasons. I have rewards for you. Jesus says, I'm coming in the glory of my Father and the holy angels. My rewards is with me in the book of Revelation. So we can rest assured that the good has went down into the library in heaven. How many of you know there's a library in heaven?
Amen.
Got books of remembrance. They got the book of life. I tell you, God's got a big library up there. Amen. And that might be your two jobs up there, to take care of the library. But what I'm saying is that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want us to look at a man named Moses just for a minute. A man that had a temper. His temper. And you know, I've got a temper. My temper always gets me into trouble. Especially when I'm driving down the road. Let me tell you, my temper got the best of me today. You know, I was trying to pull out with that white bus after I'd bought gas, and here was a whole line of people. They saw me. I was right up there trying to get in on University Boulevard, and not a one of them would just slow down a little bit and let me pull out. And I got mad as a hornet. And I said, you know, if it was me coming down the road and somebody wanted to pull out, I'd slow down a little bit and let them get on out into traffic. And Nikki said, well, you can't expect them to do that. I said, why can't I expect people to do good? Why can't we expect people to do good? You know, if we're never expecting any good out of somebody, we might never see no good out of them. But if you're expecting it, like our mom and dad when they raised us, they expected good out of us. If they didn't care, Where would we be at, honeybee? Huh? But anyway, I got tired of waiting, got impatient, got mad at all these hoggish people that drive around and never consider nobody else. I seen just a little opening, and I gassed that thing like John Cain to the floor. Boom!
And everything went around in the bus.
And I had the bus full of stuff, and stuff went flying everywhere, and Nikki said, now look at you. Now just look at you. Look at you. And I said, Nikki, I know I lost it. I asked God to forgive me, and I went on about it. I could still be dwelling on what I've done today. See, you know, we all have these things. You know, Satan knows what button to push in your life.
Amen.
I know some people that their husband or wife is that button that the devil can push. But Moses was a man with a temper. He was a man with a temper, and it got him into trouble. In fact, it kept him from finishing what God had intended for him to do. And we have to be careful, too.
Amen.
We can allow something to come into our life, these old bad habits and things, to hinder us from accomplishing something that God had planned for us. You know, Moses had to turn it over to somebody else, John. I want to finish what God has for me, what I've started. Don't you want to finish what God has for you?
Yes. Amen.
But Moses didn't get to do it because of his temper. But you know what? He stood on that mountain and he saw them crossing over and going into the promised land. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that he said, God, I'm so sorry for the way that I failed you. I'm so sorry for the way that I have failed you. I'd like to have been with them. And I can see him now. In the spirit, I can see Moses crying and saying, I failed you, Lord. And then I can see God just jerking a knot in his tail end and saying, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When you was running from the army of Pharaoh and you had your back up against the Red Sea and there was no hope, there wasn't anywhere to go, I didn't fail you, did I? I didn't fail you. When you told Pharaoh to let the people go and he wouldn't do it, I didn't fail you, did I, Moses? And I know that God told Moses, don't dwell on this, because I'm fixing to take you home to glory land. I'm fixing to take you home to glory land. A man 120 years old. So you see, the end of Moses really turned out, I'd rather went on to heaven like Moses did. You see, sometimes our faults and our mistakes gets us a quicker ticket to heaven. Some people say you can't rush it. You can't slow it down. Yes, you can. By the way we live our Christian life, we can certainly either slow it down or speed it up in God's time clock. The Lord goes before us, and he'll be with you, and he won't fail you, and he won't forsake you. Now, fear not, neither be dismayed. We know the Bible says that fear brings torment.
Amen.
And failures automatically bring a fear in us. Do I want to really try this again? Well, I tell you, if Nikki and I got afraid of all the failures that we made, we'd be divorced, I'll tell you that. And the ministry would die. But through all of the failures, God has been faithful to keep us together. Yeah. We have not missed one service in over 8 years because of our sickness. Now I want to tell you something. That's God.
Amen.
That's God. Traveling in 1996, God gave us a brand new motorhome. We wore it out in just a few years. Wore it out for Jesus. Never once did it break down to where we had to miss a service. Oh, it broke down all right. I remember one time we had a flat tire on Interstate 75 on the back two tires, and the inside one went flat, and I drove 2 miles an hour for God knows how long till I found an exit to get another tire put on that thing. But not once has God failed Nikki and me. Not once has he failed us. And through all of the fussing and arguing and getting upset with each other and everything, God has not failed to bring us back into unity.
Amen.
Because God don't dwell on our failures. He dwells on the present condition of our heart. That's why David said, create in me a what?
Clean.
A clean heart. And do what? Renew a right spirit within me. I want to talk to you about David for just a minute. We'll go over to 1 Chronicles. If anybody failed God, it was David. Adulterer. You name him. A murderer. But you know what? Through all of his failures, God never failed one time to restore him when he went back to the Lord for restoration. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Here's another man that didn't get to finish what he had started because of his failures. And these people are an inspiration to me because they didn't let their failures stop them from serving God and making sure that what God had started in them was finished. David talked to his son Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. And it's amazing how David said to Solomon the very same words that Moses had said to Joshua. David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight God is saying that to all of us. Be strong and be of a good courage, for the Lord thy God is with you.
Amen.
He's the God in the valley, the same as he is on the mountain. He's the God when we think everything's going so smooth, and then when the bottom falls out and we think that we just drop back down into hell, he's the same God there, and he won't fail you. He said to Solomon, finish what I started. Be strong and of a good courage, and do it, and fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Here's another man, Solomon. There was never before or after a man that had the wisdom of Solomon, and yet in his older years, he failed God miserably. He even allowed the worship of idols. He went and started bowing down to his concubines. Boy, they must have really been something for this man, this king, to bow down to the strange gods. Solomon, in the end, failed God miserably. But you know what? Solomon, he's in heaven tonight. So it don't matter what we have done. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter how many times that we've tried and it hadn't worked out. I know that God is saying to us tonight, let's try it one more time.
Amen.
And take what we've learned from our past failures and mistakes and apply that knowledge and wisdom to this one more try. And just see if God, he won't fail you. He'll take you through and you will be a success.
Amen.
Let's all say, I'm a success.
I'm a success.
I'm not a failure.
I'm not a failure.
But when I do fail.
But when I do fail.
The Lord will not fail me.
The Lord will not fail me.
We go to the New Testament and we find out the promises of God through his son Jesus. In the book of John, Jesus said, I've come to finish the work of my Father.
Man.
You and I are here tonight to finish the work of the Son.
Amen.
Jesus has an inheritance for us. We have a covenant tonight and have everything available from God the Father and the Son in heaven to finish the work that God has called us to do.
Amen.
Your body may be failing you. You may not be as healthy as you used to. But God is faithful if you will turn to Him and you'll acknowledge Jesus Christ as being the chief shepherd of your soul and you will follow Him. It doesn't matter about your physical condition. You will finish the task that God has given you and that you've started on.
Amen.
Let's thank God tonight that we have still an opportunity that God has not turned the job over to somebody else.
Amen.
Yet.
Amen.
Moses had to turn the job over to Joshua to finish. Solomon had to finish what David had started. I don't want someone else to get my job.
Amen.
Don, don't let anybody else finish what God's called you to do. John, don't let anybody else come into this church and pastor this church and finish what God's called you to do here. Buck, Gina, Ellie, Jim, Creasy, Bob, all of you in this place, don't let God turn that job over to someone else. We still have an opportunity, even with all of our failures, to finish. I don't know who you are, my brother, but let God finish in you what He's called you to do. I don't know what God has started in you, but don't let somebody else get the job.